The process of moving from having deployed several applications to having a more universal platform strategy is a fluid one. If you think about it like a spectrum, folks don't always recognize precisely where they're at on that spectrum, or of course, what those next steps are then that they need to take if they want to move from one end to the other, depending on what the mission, what the business dictates. But it's an important detail to think about. Recognizing the most successful applications, for example, tends to help people repeat best practices, deliver services faster, and get more data out of that day-to-day work. Recognizing when you have a more universal platform strategy, a core platform strategy, as you'll hear us talk about a lot on today's episode, helps people to mitigate rogue activity, rogue IT, for example, maximize the budget, and strengthen more mission-critical functions. I thought it would be a good question to explore today in the spirit of self-reflection, as more and more customers that we've come across have started asking themselves, how do we move from application to platform? Are we already there? And is this something we should be exploring as our mission grows and becomes more complex? I sat down with Seema Kumar, Vice President of Product Marketing for our Salesforce platform area of the business here, to better understand the difference between application and platform and the ways that she has seen both come to life at various organizations, as well as some of the steps that people have taken as they move from one end of the spectrum to the other based on the needs of their business. This is Our Digital Nation. Stay tuned.
Our Digital Nation is brought to you by the FedRAMP-approved Salesforce Government Cloud. Give leadership, management, and employees the mobile, self-service, analytical tools they need to connect data, process, and people. Create a digital platform that puts the customer at the heart of the mission.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Seema. How are you?
I'm doing great, Claire. Thanks for having me.
Why don't we start out with a little bit of background about yourself? You are here at Salesforce from our product marketing organization covering the platform cloud.
That's right. Yeah, so I've been with Salesforce about 7 years, and I actually started out in our product organization working on designing and building and launching the products that our customers use. And about halfway into my time at Salesforce, I moved over into our product marketing organization, and I actually joined the Salesforce platform. So the Salesforce platform is what sits beneath all of our other products and businesses at Salesforce. And it's really the foundation for the company, and it's the foundation for our products. So if you're listening to this thinking, I'm a Salesforce customer, but I don't know what the Salesforce platform is and I've never used it, I bet you have used it. You just didn't know that you were using it because it sits under the covers of everything that we do. If you have ever created a business process, so if you ever wanted to automate, say, a workflow or an approval process, that is the Salesforce platform. If we're talking about sales, you can customize it for your particular sales process. If we're talking about service, you can customize it for the way that you run your customer service department. And anytime that you do that, you're going to create a custom object, and that custom object is actually part of the Salesforce platform.
Okay. So platform is really what enables you to build those custom applications, those individual engagement points into the user interface as part of your platform strategy.
That's right. Now, where you might kind of be using something more directly is if you were to use any of the additional services that come from our platform. So an example of that might be our sandbox offering. So our customers who are doing heavy customization that they're going to roll out to a large group of users, well, they want to test that customization before they actually launch it into production. And our sandbox is something that lets them do that. It gives them a playground or a sandbox to test in, right?
Sure.
Another example of that would be Salesforce Shield. So Salesforce Shield is an offering that we announced about 3 years ago that brings kind of an extra layer of security, compliance, and governance into what our customers are doing. And so customers that are in regulated industries, maybe public sector, healthcare, financial services, they're really interested in that additional layer of compliance and governance that Shield provides. A really great example is if you need to maintain an audit trail of changes to data for up to 10 years, Shield can help you do that.
Seema's role here at Salesforce is horizontally focused, which gives her exposure to the ways people are designing and deploying applications across a number of industries. I asked her to share some of the examples that stood out in particular especially in areas where, say, the strategy was a more foundational shift from traditional business practices that are usually in that space.
When I first started working on the Salesforce platform many years ago, I think a lot of people didn't really understand what an application was.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, oh, yeah, an app. I've got 100 of those. But they have a very specific definition, which is like it's this tile on my phone that I tap, right? And it lets me pay my bill,
mm-hmm. right? Very narrow use case.
A very specific, very narrow, and a very consumer-oriented use case, right? But the way that we at Salesforce think of an app is that an app is really just a collection of kind of business processes and data that you need to take a business process or an action on. So a really great example that I think every organization needs is just an app to manage, say, your time off. Okay. So if you have a lot of employees, you need some way to track your requests for paid time off and to manage them, right? You can build a simple app on the Salesforce platform where people can go in and just submit, hey, I'm taking this Friday off, they hit submit, the approval gets routed to their boss approves it, and it just gets tracked in a central place. That's a great example of a simple application.
And you can bake in workflow rules to acknowledge whether or not it's a full-time employee or a union worker or...
Absolutely. And what's great about the platform is you can add all of that context. So you can make this application kind of context aware, and you can add all of that into your workflow.
At what point would you say you have enough applications in an organization? Is there a rule of thumb?
That's a great question. I have never seen a customer reach a point where they think, okay, we're done. We have enough applications. We have customers who have built 60, 70, maybe even 200 applications on the platform. Because the reality is, an application is just a business process that you're streamlining and you're automating, right?
And I like that phrasing.
And so, you know, do we ever run out of business processes? I know we don't here at Salesforce, right? We're always creating new ways of doing things that are better and more efficient and more streamlined. I'll give you an awesome example, actually. So I'm on the marketing side, and one of the things that my team does is we create all of our customer-facing content. And for a long time, we were managing all that content in a spreadsheet. So I had a spreadsheet that my team managed, and we had about 150 rows in the spreadsheet with content. And it, you know, listed what type of asset it was and who the target was and how we promoted it. And then I had a new team member join my team a few months ago, and she was in the spreadsheet, and she just thought, this is a pain in the butt. I don't like living in this spreadsheet. And so she took some trails on Trailhead, and she learned how to build apps on her platform. Now, I want to be very clear. She doesn't have a developer background. She used to be in human resources before I hired her.
Interesting.
Okay. So she was using our low-code platform to build apps. She created an app to replace Spreadsheet. And now everybody on the team can go in and they can add content to it. They can see what the latest status is. If they're going to an event and they want to find the best content for that event, they can put in some data and some filters and some drop-down lists. We can add approvals and workflow to it so that we can approve, you know, the email that goes out publicizing that piece of content. So, you know, that's a business process that we just sort of, you know, became aware of and kind of created overnight, right? And so if you think about just streamlining and automating the way you work, you're never going to run out of apps to build. This person on my team basically built a prototype of this app in, I think, 3 or 4 days. And like
Holy moly.
She's not a developer. That's not her background. And, you know, and this was the first app she built. So imagine if it was the 9th app, how much faster she could do it, right? There is a company called Swift Capital, and they're in the commercial lending business. And what they basically do is they provide working capital, so loans to small businesses. And they've provided about $1 billion in funding to date. Now, the CTO was a fourth person in the IT department. So, you know, relatively small IT department. And so when he came on board, he was looking at, you know, how can IT support the business, right? So his mission was exactly what you said. How do I sort of focus on the business and kind of let the business lead as opposed to letting the technology lead? And what they realized was that customers, small businesses, when they're looking for a loan, oftentimes it's urgent. You know, they can't wait months to get an answer on whether they can get a loan. Maybe they want to open up a small retail shop. And so they need that loan quickly to pay that first month's rent, right? And so the business was saying to them, we can't afford to wait weeks and months to get an answer back and whether or not we can extend capital to this customer. And so what he did was he used the Salesforce platform to build their loan evaluation and origination process.
Hmm.
And by doing that, he was able to, one, build it incredibly quickly.
Okay.
Right? With limited resources, because as you heard, there were only four people in the IT department. And they were able to iterate on it incredibly quickly. So they had this flexibility built into their technology, into their process. And that gave them the ability to adapt to changes in the business, changes in the market or the environment, and requests from their customers. And so what's amazing now is that when a customer comes in and makes a loan request, all of that information is being captured and stored in the Salesforce platform.
Okay.
They've integrated to a bunch of third-party applications and data sources, like we were talking about before, and they're actually pulling in data about how that company is performing, and they're using that to evaluate whether or not the loan is a wise decision.
Okay.
And they can make a decision the same day.
Wow.
And that's incredible, right? Because that is what customers are demanding. So they're getting more information and they're able to process it much faster and make smarter, more intelligent decisions.
How about reporting back to any of those customers, as well as, I should say, up to leadership, up to management, is, you know, they're evaluating, how are we doing? Who are we issuing loans to?
Yeah. And so I think what's phenomenal is because all this data is stored in one place on one platform, the reporting becomes really straightforward, right? Because they have a single pane of glass that shows them, you know, the loan requests that are coming in, who they're coming in from, kind of the amounts, how long it's taking them to respond when a new request comes in, and then how much capital they actually have extended.
At what point do you realize, whether it's from the business side or the IT side, that you've got much more than just a portfolio of applications, a library of applications? You've got a bigger, broader strategy. What are maybe some of the flags or some of the road markers that you should recognize as you move from one app to several to enterprise-wide?
It's a great question. And we see a number of customers who kind of embark on that journey. And I'm going to tell you about another customer as kind of part of an answer to your question about a technology company based in Houston, Texas called BMC Software. And BMC, I think, worked kind of the way that many companies we see do, which is that they, you know, they had a couple of apps that they needed to build. And they had some legacy technology. And they said, well, you know, we really don't want to build it on this legacy technology. We know that technology is kind of going the way of the dodo. So why continue to invest in it? You know, we have a limited number of people who are actually familiar with the technology. So why do we, you know, why build on that? And so they went out looking for a different way to build these apps. And they were already using Salesforce. And so they had people who understood Salesforce and they had a lot of data in Salesforce and their employees were already using Salesforce. And so it just made kind of natural sense for them to build those five applications that they needed to build on Salesforce. They built five apps in 2 months. So here we are talking about speed again, right?
Yeah.
They built the five apps in 2 months. And again, just like the story about my team member, the people who built these apps were what we call citizen developers. Now, they were not people in the IT department with developer backgrounds. And they were building these apps in partnership with IT, where IT was guiding them about things like security, data governance, access control, right? So IT was providing that kind of guidance and that infrastructure. But it was the actual people who needed the apps for themselves and their teams and the departments that were building these apps. So they built these five apps. And then what starts to happen is the IT department realizes, gosh, we have this backlog of apps that people are asking for. And people have been waiting months. Sometimes people have been waiting years. And so they kind of look around and like, well, what do we have that we can use to start solving some of these problems? Well, they have the Salesforce platform. And so they just or very organically began building some of those apps that the business was asking for on the platform. And so before you know it, they have kind of standardized on the Salesforce platform as their rapid app dev platform, is what they call it, because they've been able to build apps so quickly. And so they kind of, they've just standardized on the Salesforce platform. And that's what we typically see happening is it starts with one or two or three applications. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, you know, we did that one in 3 weeks. Why don't we just do some of these other ones in 3 weeks as opposed to waiting 2 years or, you know, a year or hiring some outside firm to do it. And then, you know, a year goes by and you've got a couple dozen apps.
And so then is that what you would then call a core platform strategy?
Yeah. So I think a core platform strategy is kind of where BMC ended up.
Okay.
Right? They didn't start out there, right? They didn't start and say, okay, we're going to go out and buy a platform and everything is going to work on this. You know, I think there's maybe a few companies that do that, but I think in reality, you just kind of start building a few things. And then, you know, a year or two later, you're like, we have all of these applications and these processes built here. all of our employees or a lot of our employees are logging in and using it. A lot of our data is already here. There's a network effect, right? Why don't we just leverage this network effect that we have, right? People like what they have access to already. All we have to do is add a few more things to it.
This was Wyoming Office of State Lands and Investments experience. For those of you who haven't gone back and listened to episode 6, I recommend you check that one out next. It's an example of what Seema is describing here, right out of the public sector playbook.
Can you talk to me a little bit about who manages this application strategy? Who's in charge of what?
That is such a great question. And Claire, you know, the truth is that there are multiple ways to do it. It really depends on the customer's organization, how they're set up. We've seen a few different models. So we have seen models where it really is led by the IT department. You know, they're the ones who kind of bring in the Salesforce platform. They're kind of setting up all of this governance and security, and they're building all of the applications, and they're going to go to the business and ask what they need, but they're really building the applications themselves. So that's one model. Another model we've seen is actually there are people with IT skills embedded in the individual business departments. Now, when I say IT skills, they might not be developers, they're systems analysts, right? Okay. They're people who know how to build Excel macros is oftentimes how we think of it. And they know how to think about workflow and they understand how to think about kind of a data model in their head, but they're really part of the business. And so they really understand, hey, when a customer comes in or a citizen comes in and they need a building permit, they need it fast. They can't afford to wait because they're paying a contractor. This is the data that's got to be involved. This is the approval process. They really understand the business, right? But they have that IT mindset. And so in that model, what you oftentimes will see is that, you know, the business owns it completely. Because they've got the security background in that person, the business is actually going to kind of own buying the Salesforce platform. They're going to own building the applications. They're going to own approving it and running it completely. Now, the third option we've also seen is where there's just a much closer partnership between the two. So where the IT organization empowers people in the business to build the applications, kind of scratch their own itch. Mm-hmm. And they're really just, they're providing the scaffolding, if you will.
Now, as you think about, you know, one of the things I always like to cover on this series are any kind of best practices or what would you add to a to-do list on Monday? So as you think about from application to core platform and wherever you're at on that journey, what are maybe, let's say, three things that you would recommend our customers start either asking themselves or start looking around as they decide whether or not this is an option or a path forward for them?
I would say the first thing is start small. Find a simple need, a simple business process, something that is living in spreadsheets like my team member, something that is being, you know, sent through email that's asynchronous and kind of, you know, frustrating and takes a while. Budgeting is a really great example I see when people are like, how do we put in our budget requests? You know, pick a small use case. Don't get overwhelmed by the possibilities because when you hear, you know, what some of these customers are doing, it's really easy to go, wow, where do I begin? There's all these different apps that I could possibly build. Just pick one and start with it. And because when you do that, you will get familiar with the platform. You'll understand how easy it is to use and all sorts of other ideas will come to you. And I think most importantly, once you've built one app and you can go show that to people, everyone else will understand what's possible. And so you're sort of seeding these ideas and you're seeding this inspiration and this excitement throughout your organization for, gosh, if we were to just move some of this to the cloud and streamline these processes, think about how different, you know, our organization could be and how we could try to overcome that digital divide. The way this person on my team approached the app was she saw a need, she built an app, and then she showed it to a few people. And she, you know, people who sat next to her, literally, and she said, hey, I had this idea, I did this, what do you think? And they gave her a few ideas and they said, well, what if we tweak this? And what if we move this over here? And what if you added a field for this, right? And within a couple of days, she was able to make those changes because our platform is based on an agile methodology. It's very iterative. And so every time someone gave her feedback, she was able to quickly incorporate it into the app, innovating as she went. And so, you know, over the course of the last few weeks, she's shown this to more and more people. Now, 50 different people in the marketing team have seen it. They've played with it. They've given her feedback on it. And so, you know, she's probably on V5 of this app, and it's just been a few weeks. And so she's been able to, one, build really quickly, and two, be really innovative and integrate the feedback and the changes that she's getting, as opposed to, yeah, that sounds great. You know, maybe in the next upgrade, which I do in 2 years, technology, maybe I'll incorporate your feedback, right? When your feedback's not even relevant anymore because we've moved on to something else. So I would say that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is it really helps if you just kind of understand how the tools work and what's available. And I think Trailhead, which is our new fun and easy way to learn Salesforce, is a really great place to go do that. There are these really easy, simple, and really fun kind of bite-sized learning modules that will help you understand what the Salesforce platform can allow you to do. A low-code platform like Salesforce, because it comes with all the plumbing and it comes with all the infrastructure, and so you're not building things like your data structure, you're not building page layouts, you're not building the mobile version of it, you're not building your login and your identity management system or your permissions and your role-based access stuff, right? All this comes out of the box with the Salesforce platform. You just get to focus on your business process, on your secret sauce. And so that's what really speeds all of this up, right? Because you're just focusing on your business process. And so I'd say the second thing is just start kind of rolling up your sleeves and get familiar with what you can actually do on the platform. The third and final thing I would say when you think about getting started is think about putting together a Salesforce COE, their acronym for you, or a Center of Excellence. And the reason I say this is because what the Center of Excellence does is it makes sure that you don't have people going off in silos, building things on the fly that maybe aren't mapped to a longer-term strategy. I think it helps ensure that you don't have any duplication of efforts, because you can imagine in a large organization where you've got thousands of people, you know, 10 people will probably come up with the same idea, but maybe different versions of it, and they might go off and build that same app themselves, or they might want to bring, you know, a third-party data source in, and they're going to bring that in multiple times in like in different ways. And so really, it's like it's meant to be a steering committee that kind of helps guide your strategy so that you're really thinking for the long term. You're building something that's going to be really sustainable. It's really considered a best practice for a lot of our customers who've been using Salesforce for quite some time, is they have the Salesforce Center of Excellence that manages, you know, anytime they want to change an object or add a field or kind of build a new application, to make sure that they're not doing it in a silo and they're thinking holistically about all the different partners that are in the business. And so you don't have to do that right off the bat. You know, my team member who built this app, you know, she didn't set up a Salesforce Center of Excellence, right? So you don't have to do that with your first app, but maybe just start thinking about how you might do that. Or when you come to a Salesforce event, like a world tour, talk to other customers about how they set up their center of excellence and just kind of have that as something you want to do in the future.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government, or follow us on Twitter @SalesforceGOV.